It is official. It's official. So just a week and a half ago or so, I received the 2020 Church Lutheran Brethren directory. Yes. And I had to look in here and list the states and the churches by state and get to page 54 and it says Illinois. Beneath that it says Ottawa, Bethel LBC, Bethel Lutheran Brethren Church. Beneath that it says Randy Mortensen, pastor. It's official. Go on, information, Nathaniel Nash, youth and family pastor. So there it is. I'll tell you, I get the directory every year. I send it out, and I use it as a reference to look up contacts and other pastors and churches information. There's calendar in here with scriptures for certain weeks and things like that. I'll confess, that's what I use it for, and I almost always skip the opening pages. Page 4, right up front, before it gets to all that, it says CLB, Church Lutheran Brethren, mission statement. Beneath that it says CLB, vision statement. These two statements were adopted at convention in 2007 by the Church Lutheran Brethren. I was there. I remember when we voted and adopted these words. Let me read this. Here's the CLB mission statement. In response to God's person and grace, we worship Him with everything we are in Christ, serve one another in Christian love, and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with all people. Beneath that, the vision statement says, we see God stirring in our church a fresh passion to reach beyond our own comfort to all people among whom God places us. We embrace God's mission to bring the life-changing gospel to unreached people in Asia and Africa, and we sense God convicting us to more intentionally reach out to people who live in our midst in North America as well. 2007, read them, heard them, adopted them. 13 years almost since then. Every now and then I'd come across these and I would actually read them or post them. And every time, it was like a splinter in my heart. Because then I'd forget it. And we get caught up in even ministry and in life and in other things. And it's like, it's been a splinter in my heart. It's been there. And that splinter was, I don't know how to put it, provoked greatly this past fall. Before coming here in late September to visit and preach, I received a bulletin from here, Bethel Bulletin, and on the back page, at that time it was on the back page at the top, where it says, our purpose, to share the good news of salvation with every person and build mature disciples of Jesus Christ. It resonated, it provoked that splinter that's been there for years. That splinter meaning, this is what God has called us to do. As a church, as His people, even as a pastor, I'm like, I'm not the only one who's skipping those pages. I know that in the directory and in life. Splinter in my heart. Well, I shared the story, you know, at the welcome time of some of the call process that led to this day, to my being here. And I did bring part of my call letter. Now, many of you probably know what this is, but maybe not all if you're visiting too. So I visited in September. Congregation prayed and met and voted, seeking God, if this is God's will, to call me to be your pastor. And you extended that call. We call it a call because we consider it a call from God, that this is His call. So we call this a call letter. I received this letter in October, and I read it. And I prayed over it, I did, before I accepted. And then I wrote my letter of acceptance and sent that. But later in October, after the announcement had been made here too that I'd accepted, that I was going to come and be your pastor, I got the letter back out at the very end of October. I took this letter and my Bible and some highlighters and a legal pad and a pen to a restaurant. I went there by myself with these. And I reread it and really pondered it more. The third page, the last page, third page of the call letter, at the top, guess what's there? This is like a job description page for pastor. At the top it says, our purpose, to share the good news of salvation with every person and build mature disciples of Jesus Christ. At the bottom of this page, I mentioned earlier, it lists duties and responsibilities for the pastor. There's 11 items listed here. I can tell you, I'm not a lawyer, but a lawyer could look at this and say, yeah, you could fulfill all 11 of these, and you could do them without actually really leading the church in the purpose that's stated at the top. Job description. This disconnect, it's not only here, it's in the church, meaning capital C. I've seen a lot of churches' mission statements, and a lot of them are very, very similar to ours and to the Lutheran Brethren as a whole. And yet there's this disconnect I see a lot, and I've experienced myself, between that stated purpose, what we're called to do, and then what we actually do, or in this case, don't do. By the way, that restaurant, it was a good-sized restaurant. I was at a corner table. I could see, you know, and hear everything going on. They served Asian food. I love Asian food. Betsy, we love Asian food. But really, we love food. It's not only Asian. There's most food we actually enjoy. But as I was reading the letter and opening my Bible and even praying in the midst of that, it's kind of like the restaurant, the sounds and the smells and all that just kind of faded out again as I looked at this. Page 2 of my call letter. By the way, this is signed Sincerely in Christ, Lori, Secretary of Bethel, but representing, you know, the letter from the church from God. But on page 2, this is highlighted, this paragraph. It's printed in your insert in the bulletin. Let me read this. Listen to this. This is where the restaurant sounds kind of faded out when I was rereading this paragraph. The Lord has given us a great field here. There are many souls yet to be saved in our midst. It is the prayer of all of us believers that as the world is getting darker around us, Bethel Lutheran can stand out in Ottawa as a lighthouse in an area where souls can come and find peace with God. Do you know what that is, that paragraph? It's a vision. That's why it captivated me. You can see it. A great field, many souls yet to be saved. Prayer, the world's getting darker. Stand out, Bethel standing out as a lighthouse. I can do that list of duties. I intend to do them. I accepted the letter, meaning I'm intending to do that. But in the King James Version, Proverbs 29:18, the King James Bible says, without vision, the people perish. They wither. Without vision, the people perish. Without vision, a mission statement, our purpose statement, without vision, can fall flat, can become empty words on a page or the early part of the directory that people skip over. Our mission, I will skip that and just get to the rest of the part. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ, visitors, guests, family, friends of family. You, the church, God through you has called me to be your pastor. And I really believe that God has brought me here to join with you in fulfilling actually fulfilling that purpose to share the good news of salvation with every person and to build mature disciples of Jesus Christ. You know when a disciple is mature? It's not when they have a whole bunch of knowledge up here. It's like when a creature in the animal kingdom is physically mature, it means it's able to reproduce. When disciples are doing that first part, sharing the good news and reproducing, that's a mature disciple. How many of us have reached maturity at that level? Before that clarification, probably some of us probably thought, yeah, I'm getting pretty up there. And then I go, wow. There's that disconnect. I want to look at that paragraph one more time. Listen to this. The Lord has given us a great field here. There are many souls yet to be saved in our midst. It is the prayer of all of us believers that as the world is getting darker around us, Bethel Lutheran can stand out in Ottawa as a lighthouse in an area where souls can come and find peace with God. When I was reading that, I had the image of the outside of this part of the church, the sanctuary, in my mind, and I saw a lighthouse superimposed. Now, from the outside, look at it, it looks maybe more like a castle, you know, than a lighthouse, but it has that verticality to it still, and I saw the light at the top. And here's a question for you about a lighthouse. Which direction does the light from a lighthouse shine? Meaning, does the light on a lighthouse shine onto itself? Look at me, I'm a lighthouse. Or does the light of a lighthouse shine kind of within itself? You know, you could picture it going down within the building structure of the tower of the lighthouse. In that case, nobody could even see it. Simple question. But the reality is, it not only shines always, always outward, but in which direction? Every direction. Every direction. This paragraph and God's Word, which we're getting to, was my inspiration for some of this vision. And I mentioned it's in the calendar now for Wednesday night, the Light Team, L-I-G-H-T. Some of you remember, I like acronyms. Now all of you know, I like acronyms when they work and when they help me see and remember things. So the word light, obviously from the lighthouse, there's the light. But L-I-G-H-T, the L is for locate. This month, February 2020, the location for the lighthouse light, as it were, is this block. That Bethel, the parsonage, these five houses this way, Handy Foods, parking lot, five more houses there, our parking lot, back to the parsonage. For this month, not only today and not only Wednesday night, but for the month of February, I'm inviting us to pray. And that is to pray for the people here, the people who live there. It's us, we need prayer. People who live here, people who come and go to Handy Foods, that's hundreds a day probably, use that parking lot. There are people that use this parking lot, our parking lot. They're not coming to church here, but I see cars out there off and on. There's people come and go, passing through. Everyone who lives and or comes and goes on this block for this month, we're praying. Here's the next part, IG, inviting God. Inviting God, HT, to help transform. This is according to His will and purpose. Sometimes we get in the way thinking we know, God, do this. Really, we're just praying, saying, God, we're inviting you into these people's lives. Your light. There's so many verses about the light of God, the light of His Word, the light of Jesus Christ in His Word. I'm going to share one. This is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. 2 Corinthians 4, 6. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. It's a reference back to Genesis 1, when God, at the beginning of creation, let there be light out of darkness. Equating that is just as much a miracle when God says, let there be light in a person's heart, and they see the glory of God in the image and face of Christ. That's God. We're inviting God to do that in people's lives. Here and there and here. Locate, invite God for Him to help transform. I made up a word. I coined a new word because I was thinking of a lighthouse beam. I was thinking of a spotlight, you know, that light shining onto this block. But it's prayer. It's our inviting God. It's our prayer asking Him to do that. And so the word is prayer lighting or prayer light as a verb. We're prayer lighting this block this month. Praying for people to receive and hear God's light as He speaks into their hearts, that they would see and know Jesus Christ. Prayer light. Clay, Madison, Fillmore, and Maine. Next month, March, we're going to locate another block. April, we're going to locate and prayer light another block. I'm going to share with you some goals. I'm calling these faith goals because they involve God, that He would need to do this. In 5 years from now, in February 2025, just by doing the math, if we prayer light a different residential and or commercial business block in Ottawa, each month in 5 years, that'll be 60 blocks. Picture a map of Ottawa and picture now 60 blocks. There's part of a map on the front of the bulletin for this location. Picture 60 of those prayer lighted that have been prayed for, those people, all the people. We can do that, but it's inviting God to do this next part. In 5 years, I'm praying, and I'm inviting you to join with me in praying and seeking this from God, that there would be 60 people who this moment haven't seen the light of Christ, may not even know they need forgiveness for their sins. They're not believers. They're not saved. In 5 years, 60 people in this community, God will have spoken His light into their heart, and they will see and know Jesus Christ and know salvation. New believers. God can do way more than this, but this is what I'm putting out there, and I'm inviting you to pray and seek this as well. And also in 5 years from now, there would be 60 souls who will have been deeply impacted by the love of Christ. You say, well, that doesn't that mean they're saved? Hopefully, yes. Ultimately, they come to know and believe in Jesus. But as we're going to see here in the Word, Jesus, when He was here in the flesh, He healed hundreds, thousands of people. In John chapter 6 and other locations, we read about Him miraculously feeding over 5,000 people. You know, from a few loaves and a few fishes. He fed thousands. They were blessed. They were deeply impacted. They remembered that. But did all of them believe in Him as the Son of God? No. In fact, later in John chapter 6, it says many, if not most, of those multitudes left Him because His teaching was offensive and hard. He turned to the 12 and said, are you also going to leave? That's when Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. 60 people, though, significantly impacted by His love through us, through the church, by Christ, with the hope, the prayer, that they do come to know and believe in Him as their Savior. That paragraph, field. Souls to be saved, prayer, Bethel, lighthouse. Can you see it a little bit? I've been kind of in this for a few months. I know when you first hear something, it's like, it takes a while. It took me a while, and I'm starting to see this. I want to mention a word about Wednesday night. I was at the Bible study this past week, and there's been a group regularly, faithfully coming. It's been on the calendar a long time, and I gave them a little warning last week that this coming Wednesday, it's going to be a little different. And I say warning because even though change just by a new pastor and everything is inevitable, Human nature, we tend to resist change. So that's why I want to give you this warning, okay? It is going to be a different dynamic Wednesday night. If you're a high school age person, if you're a college aged person, if you're in your 20s, I'm going to start with this age group. Sociologists, demographers, you know, people study this kind of thing. The term, I think, is millennials. I get lost in these generational things. But they say this generation, you know, teens into the 20s and even young 30s maybe, they're a group of people who get behind causes, issues that they want to be a part of and that can have an impact on the world, right? I'm going to say this. I am praying for, on Wednesday night, a Greta Thunberg. You know who I'm talking about? Greta Thunberg. Now, some of you are like, okay. Her issue and her views and all that aside, let me mention this. Last year, 2019, she was named by Time Magazine the Person of the Year. As a 16-year-old, youngest person ever named by Time Person of the Year. Why? Why did they pick her? Is it really about, you know, climate change, the issue, environment, all that? That's what she's, you know, her big cause. I'm going to put it this way. I think they selected her for one word, one reason. Passion. Passion. Climate change, you know, you live in Illinois. I mean, it can be 20 degrees and snowing one day and 60 and sunny the next, right? There's climate change, but it's not about the issue, it's about her passion. That's why she's selected. I'm looking not for an environmentalist Wednesday night, okay, to clarify. I'm looking for a young person, and maybe the passion isn't there yet, but I'm looking for one who's like, yeah, because here's the greatest cause historically and eternally, above all the other issues and causes and social justice and all that out there, it's our purpose for people to come and hear the gospel and know Jesus. This is the ultimate cause. If you're in your 30s, if you're in your 40s, if you're in your 50s, if you're in your 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, hundreds, please come Wednesday night, 6:30, for the Bible study time, which will lead and feed into the light team after that this Wednesday. Now, you say, well, Bible study, I got other things going on. I had a lawnmower, a nice little red lawnmower. It was an excellent lawnmower, except for one thing. It didn't work. Well, okay, if it was sitting in the shed cold for a week and I went in there and started pulling the cord, I could pull all day and it wouldn't start. Unless, you know, there was that red button on the side. If I pushed that once, if I push it twice, if I pushed it three times and then pulled the cord, it would start up. Primer button, right? Get the gasoline, the fuel into the engine so it would have something to catch and actually go. So to give you a little more here, I'm going to push that primer button three times to get you to come Wednesday night to Bible study, okay? Push number one. How many chapters in the Bible do not deal with sin? How many chapters, Genesis to Revelation, in the Bible don't deal with sin, okay? Push number two. These are connected, by the way, and we're going to address these and more Wednesday night. Number two, is there prayer in heaven? Is there prayer in heaven? Okay. Push number three, how is prayer connected to God's promises in His Word? How is prayer connected to God's promises? Okay, that was the third push. And here's the pull. It's going to start, and you're all going to come Wednesday night. I can feel it. Here we go. When you pray, what is the most important thing to remember? What is the most important thing to remember every time you pray? Wednesday night, Bible study, we're going to look at that and more. And then the light team And the Light Team Wednesday night, I'm going to share a bit more about it and some more information than you've already heard. And then we are going to physically, if you're physically able, by the way, if you're not able to walk around outside, you're invited to stay here and pray also here at church. Those of us who are able, we're going to go outside and physically walk around the block and pray. And prayer light this block Wednesday night. He's like, Pastor, you've been going through a lot of stuff. We've kind of heard about the word, a little bit of the word, but this is what we need. Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 9, starting at verse 35. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When Jesus saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. And then Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Question one. In what we read there, what did Jesus see? What does Jesus see? It says when he saw the crowds, when he saw these people, did he just see people? Bunch of people. He saw people that were harassed and helpless and needy, like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus saw them. What does Jesus feel? It says when he saw them, he had compassion. There's that word passion in there. Originally, the history of the word passion, you know what it originally means? Passion, it means to suffer. To suffer. Compassion, C-O-M, com means with. Compassion, when you have compassion, it literally means you are suffering with someone. You are feeling their pain, as we say. You're feeling it. Jesus had compassion. His insides were moved. He suffered with them. They're helpless. They're harassed. They need. And he had compassion. And what does Jesus tell his disciples to do? He doesn't ask them to do this, by the way. He tells them to ask. After he says the reality, the harvest, these people who need, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. What to do? Ask the Lord of the harvest. That's prayer. Inviting God to help transform. Ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into, does he just say, out into that field? Out into his harvest field. This is his church. The field is his. But he calls his disciples to ask him to send workers out into it to pray. I got to share one more thing. This is actually the most important thing. We talk about sharing the good news. We talk about proclaiming the gospel. What is the gospel? What is it we're to share? The word gospel means good news. One and the same. Good news means gospel. By the way, this isn't in your insert. If you are taking notes, write this down. The good news, the gospel, is not about us. It's not the good news about you and about me. It's the good news about Jesus Christ. It's the good news about what God has done, because he loves people. It's not about us, but it is for us. It's the gospel, it's the good news for you and for me and for people. But what is it? Keep saying it again. What is the gospel? 1 Corinthians 1:18 says this. And if you ever say, what is it again? The message of the cross. The message of the cross. If you get lost again in this, what's the gospel? Go there. That is, go to the cross. What about the cross? What's the message of the cross? Who's on the cross? When you go there in this way, it is Jesus. It's why he came. He came to go to the cross. Why is he on the cross? He's suffering. He's dying. This is 2,000 years ago. For the sins of the world. For your sins, for my sins. That's why he went to the cross. And that's the gospel. The message of the cross. Here's another reference if you're writing this down for a good summary. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, here's verses 1 through 4. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel, Paul says, that I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. Here's a summary. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins. This is the most significant prepositional phrase for me in the Bible. Not just that Christ died on the cross, that Christ died for our sins. When you're talking to somebody, say, why did he have to die on the cross? For our sins. According to the scriptures, that he was buried. That is, he really did die. He died and he was buried, dead. Goes on. That he, Jesus, was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. This is the gospel. Jesus Christ died for your sins on the cross. He died in our place. He was buried. It's not the end. On the third day, he was raised. John 3, 16 and 17. This is gospel. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in him, whoever believes in Jesus, will not perish, but will have eternal life. Do you know that? Eternal life. Goes on. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. When Jesus came 2,000 years ago, he did not come to condemn. He came rather to save those who would believe in his name. To share the good news of salvation, the gospel message of the cross of salvation, that is being saved from sin and death and given forgiveness and eternal life. It's time to hit the ground praying. Here's one more bit of good news. This isn't the gospel, but this is gospel still. The end of Matthew, at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, when Jesus sent the disciples out to make more disciples, Jesus didn't just say, now go get them, you're on your own. Last words of the Gospel of Matthew, he says, for surely I, Jesus, am with you always. We're not going alone. It's not just us. It's God. It's Jesus with us. It's his Holy Spirit in us. Always. He's here with us right now. His Holy Spirit indwells those who believe in Jesus. And he leads and guides us. And he's with us. Let's pray. Ah. God, you are God. You are God. You love us. You love each person here. You love them so much that you did not want us to perish in our sin and be cut off forever. You love us so much that you sent Jesus with the ultimate purpose that he would humble himself even unto death. He came. He's God in the flesh, and he came, took on human flesh so that he could die in our place on the cross, which he did. Lord, not everyone believes. There are so many in this field, on this block even, and in Ottawa, and in these surrounding communities, and in the world. This is your field, and the harvest is plentiful. We ask you now, and this week, you continue to shine your light, that people would see the light and love and truth of Jesus Christ and come to him for forgiveness and salvation. In Jesus' holy name.